Hello, hello, good afternoon. Well, hour four of our seven, eight, well, this is a Sunday for me. This is just normal Sunday. Anyway, good afternoon, everybody, good evening. This is Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. And today being the 1 year anniversary of Dave's, birthday into the astral plane, let's put it that way. I'm going to be joined, I hope, by several, if not many, of the previous hosts and guests and friends and staff. So now's the time. If I invited you on, now's the time to call in on the on my Skype number, or you can come in on the Wolf Spirit Radio telephone number, which is 1-775-773-3431. That's 775-773-3431. It's such a good number, isn't it? It's a really easy to remember number. I can even remember it off the top of my head. And even if you want to call in, if you're in Britain, you can call in on 0141-356-4141. That's a really easy number as well. So, So, yeah, I will eat the light bulb. Actually, I don't eat light bulbs myself, but I used to know this guy from South Africa. He's a really tall guy. You know, he's one of these, like really, almost like probably an Aryan. Anyway, but one of his party tricks was to eat light bulbs. So, please, contact me on Skype, and I'll bring you into the show, and we'll talk about how Dave Corso changed my life. Or you'll talk about how Dave Corso changed your life. It's lovely to have you all. So, as I said, I gave you all the numbers. And then there's also the Wolf Spirit Radio Skype. You can connect through that, I think. I think it's called Wolf Spirit Radio. So, it's lovely to have you all. And, well, zombie marathonist. We hope tonight to recreate some of the early round tables that we had many years ago. There were some folk, and we used to hang out on air on Skype. It all came from Rebecca. Actually, let's see if we can get Rebecca in. She's not online. Oh well, let's call her anyway, just in case she is online secretly.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently on a.
Well, obviously she's not. So there we go. So let's also bring in someone from the early days, and let's see if she's on here. And we'll start from there. I started out coming as a listener, as many people are knowing. I was looking for somebody to teach me about the rays. Ha. Huh. Really? Yeah, I really was. So anyway, I haven't found anyone. I went to Rebecca Jernigan's chat room and...
The person whom you're trying to...
Oh, shut up. And I found the most warm atmosphere there. Everybody's really friendly. And it was a good old Chatango chat room, just like the one we have now. Dark purple, I think, was the colour, and... We all met there, and when I say we all, who's we all? Well, let's see if I can remember. Well, there was Chris Noonan. Let's see. Oh, now Chris looks like he's online, so let's see if Chris Noonan's going to pick up the call. Then there was Vonda. I wonder if Vonda's around. Thomas Hughes is around. Okay, Muggs is with a patient right now. Chris Noonan's not here. Let's see who else might be around. Oh, I was asking, I asked loads of people, but nobody's here. The kids, right. Yes, we are having a good old fun time, I hope. And please, if you wish to join us, do connect with us. And let's see. And well, obviously Chris is not there, so there we go. That will keep the dust off the beads. Right, okay. Yes. Well, actually, Of the people that I've invited so far, Tracy's the only one. So guess who's getting called next? Except she'll already have been called, so she won't know. She's again stealth mode. She says she's offline. Well, we'll see. That's right. I'm photo bombing. I'm call bombing people. Getting the old thing happening. No, nobody's picking up. Tracy, where are you? All right. So nobody wants to talk to me. All right. Well, that's great. So anyway, well, while we're waiting for everybody to join in, how did I meet Dave? Well, as you know, a lot of the history was actually, you know, we played it because it was all recorded. It's like, there you go. I didn't need to tell the stories. The stories tell themselves. And so, most of the clips that we played about how we started it. So, one of the things that, it was difficult last year, because I had lost a friend and somebody who I'd been talking with all day and working with, and we, you know, we worked this week in, week out thing, for many years. And, a lot of the time we didn't really cross over. We didn't actually speak that much to each other, beside the time we were handing over or having sort of general conversations about the station. But it was certainly in the earlier days when things were quieter and we could have these very large group conversations. So we used to kind of, well, for me it was talking all night. But for them it was like just an, you know, it was a nice evening thing to do. And so we are joined, are we, by Sam Muggsy. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, lovely. Beautiful.
One of the things that...
and Michelle as well. You can turn off your radio.
I had lost a friend and somebody who I've been talking with all day and working with, and we, you know...
Michelle, turn off the radio.
Week in, week out thing.
Sorry about that. Hey, Jer.
Hey, turn off the radio. Yeah, you're off. Good, good. All right, so we're on now with...
beside the time.
Oh, no, turn it off again.
Yes, I'm doing that right now. Sorry about that. Okay. So sorry.
Good, good. Right, you might want to turn your microphone down a little bit.
Turn it down or up?
Down.
Down.
Because we're hearing ourselves reflected back.
That's
perfect. That's perfect.
Right, just okay.
Okay, so welcome, Michelle Long and Sam Muggsy. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Well, it's the sixth hour of the marathon, and I'm going all right.
Yeah, I've actually been listening for most of the day. You know, I've been crying today. I've been laughing. I've been, you know, going through all the emotions. I can feel Dave's presence, which is awesome. And you know, it's really, really great that you guys are doing this.
Thanks a lot. So, Sam, welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you could go up a little bit on your mic if you can.
I just need to pull it closer.
Come closer. Come speak close, mate. Speak in my whisper in my ear. Go on.
No, is that okay?
Yeah, that's lovely. So, you know, a lot of people who listen to All Spirit Radio these days don't hear you two very much.
Hey, Sam.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Okay. It's just been really busy. There's a lot of things going on right now. Things are amping up. And I really believe that on some level that Dave let go of his physical self so he could help us in higher dimensions, because I know that Dave was very committed to seeing us out of this dark reality. And I really believe that Dave has found his power, but he's also in a position now where he can do more than what he was doing down here. And there was a lot of stuff that he did, and especially behind the scenes. But now he's really behind the scenes, and I believe he's even doing more. It's funny to me that certain things will just show up on my computer screen, or my computer will seem to have a mind of its own. And sometimes I just wonder if Dave's not behind that, showing me things. There's no way of knowing for sure, but it's just uncanny how I'll click on a link for apples or something, and then I'll be taken to some bioweapon that they sprayed. So I really think that Dave is working really diligently on the other side. He's working 24/7, and he's there to help us. And the ones that he was the closest to, that he had a connection with, we already have his frequency, his phone line, and he is able to tap into us and get us information in a real quick way. So I really believe that Dave's doing that. And he's kind of funny because you always know when it's Dave, because there's like this strength or that stern attitude that only Dave had. So that's my thoughts.
That's Michelle. Pops. That's Pops, isn't it?
Yeah, his very stern, kind of funny attitude hasn't changed at all. It's actually really funny.
So I hope later I didn't invite some more of our old friends who used to do these all-nighters. So Muggsy, do you want to talk about some of the things that you used to speak to Dave, right? And you were able, this is something I was saying to others, you were able to contact with his altars. You know, let's go down into the Twilight Zone. What can you say about the altars that you came into contact with, and what was your experience of it, Muggsy?
Well, it took several years of getting to know Dave and working with Dave, and sometimes, you know, we would be on Skype together almost 20 hours a day when we were covering something in what I call, you know, the red flag event, and in the weeds, we had to get information out. So Dave and I got to know each other well, and I respected him for who he was, and he had a temper. There's no denying that, but I just learned to appreciate it for a way of that's how he was dealing with the frustrations that he would learn about that was going on behind the scenes. And so I would just back off and give him his space. The same token is that I know that there were several of us, JP, that were in there all the time. Day in and day out, and working endless hours, not getting much sleep, not eating very much, just kind of going one after another on these red flag events. So we all had our issues at that time. And it was uncanny how we would learn, okay, this person's burned out, they needed to take a break, and we would jump in and help each other. And there was just that respect. And then when somebody would blow up, we didn't get mad and end our friendship and act childish. We just understood that person had hit a wall. And so we would help them or back off or give them the space that they needed. So with Dave, working so closely with him for every day for years, he got to know me, and he released the security trap door that he had on his altars. And I believe that there was one in particular that I was the only one that was allowed in to talk to that altar. And that altar was very much part of Dave as far as the strength or the no-nonsense no attitude, and he had no patience. And so when that altar would come out, I knew who it was. It was the Army General Dave, and he was short, brief, direct, to the point. He would give me information, which we actually recorded. It was like Dave, it's kind of like channeling, where Dave would just step to the side and his altar would come out. And he would give us specific information, very quick, concise, and then he was out of there. He was not messing around. He did not care for the frivolous attitude of some radio hosts. And he would tell me exactly what he wanted and what he didn't want it, and I would honor that. And if something was confidential that he was telling me because I was supposed to look something up or something, I would do that as well. So I really believe that the key to working with other people is identifying their strengths and weaknesses, playing up their strengths, and compensating for their weaknesses, because we all have them. And Dave was no exception. But Dave was very much the spearheader, where I'm kind of a wimp. I've admitted that numerous times. And he would just take the ball, and he would be the first one to jump in. And, you know, fur would fly. Dave didn't care. He was going to do it. And if it was the right thing to do, that's what Dave was going to do. So he was pretty fascinating like that. But, yeah, we got many of his altars. I think there was maybe about three of them that I worked with, and they would just come out sporadically. So maybe Michelle has a story.
Yeah, I actually had a couple of occasions where I was at his house, and an altar started to come out, and I wasn't ready to deal with it. I was like, no, you know, I'm not going to be able to deal with this. So I energetically blasted him and kind of brought him back. And the first thing that he said was, thank you. Because it seemed like he didn't really have any control of that at that particular time. And I was able to assist him in that way. And I did that a couple times, actually. It was pretty interesting.
So, you know, we've got some people who have had very, very intimate, very deep, profound connections with Dave. So, actually, I'd like to see if I can bring somebody else in and that's Tracy. But let's see if she's here. Let's see if she's there now. When you can fix the damn thing yourself. That's right. Well, I don't think, maybe, are you there, Trace? We'll see. She's still out on the balcony. She's probably gone out on the balcony now, and just kind of wobbling back. Anyway, so we'll see if we, we'll see if she joins us in a wee moment. But I remember there was one night when you started speaking with, I think it was eight. I mean, his altar was just known. I mean, like, everybody knew Dave. Everybody knew he had altars, but not many people could really recognize them and speak to them in the appropriate way. I never quite got it. There was I don't know whether it was an altar, but there was one very grumpy Dave, and there was one that I knew not to you know, just like, okay, I'll do that kind of day. And there were others that, you know, that were softer and gentler, and then there were the ones that were very clever, and ones... did either of you ever speak to any of the wolf ones?
There was another time that he came out for Jeremiah's wedding, and we were all staying at the Cork Hotel in Solvang. And we had a group of us, you know, we were kind of hanging out a bit. And he had this, like, really interesting stare out into the Solvang's really beautiful, but there was like this open area where there was like these oak trees and things, and he kind of looked out. It was kind of like an open, little bit unincorporated type of area. And he just had like this really weird blank stare, and we all knew he was seeing something, you know, it's pretty obvious. And then he just turned to all of us, and then he said that there were these, he explained that Herkimer, his wolf, he had seen his wolf, and that, which he talked about often, but he had seen him, and then there was other wolves as well that he could see in the distance. And he always got emotional every time he saw Herc. And he kind of broke down a little bit. And, you know, he had a profound moment. He didn't really share it with us, but I know it had a pretty big impact on him. There had been other occasions that had happened too, but that one in particular was a pretty interesting one.
Thank you. So,
one more?
Go on.
Uh-oh, you gotta tune me down. Let's see, where do you begin? Dave, part of the wolf in him, or what he related to, was the character he sees in himself as well. And this goes back to number 8, which was a very military-type personality. The wolf was very protective. So when Dave would become very protective of something, that's usually when the wolf within him would come out. He also had a way of telepathically connecting with his dogs. And he knew, like he would call me and tell me that one of his wolves was going to die the next day at 3:00. And I thought, okay, let's just see, you know, how well these wolves can plan their death and how well he's picking it up. And I think there was 2 or 3 times that he had done that to me. And I thought, wow, he's really connected with the wolves. I think he also took better care of his wolves than he did himself, because some of the natural ingredients to give him a healthy diet, he always made sure that the wolves got. But then he himself didn't take care of himself as well as he did the wolves. So I always wonder about that. I think that a lot of people don't realize that their body, their physical body, is sicker than what it is. And I have a biofeedback machine that picks up on all the frequencies of the diseases, the bioweapons, the worms, the fungus, the bacterium. And I'm just marveled at how much we actually have, and we're still walking. But with Dave, he had a mission to do, and then he was out of here. He just really didn't heed a lot of, especially at the end, he wasn't heeding a lot of the nutritional advice that we were giving him, me and Dr. Will Spencer. Dr. Will, or whatever you call Will Spencer, but he would give it to his dogs, or he would pass it on to other people, and then he'd email me and say, oh, so-and-so's doing this, and it works great. But he wouldn't do it. So I don't know if it's just what's actually the dynamics of that, but I find that with a lot of people that are about ready to go, it's like they know a year in advance. And they just subconsciously know and start making preparations to leave. And they're using Western medicine to do it, or poison foods. And like Dave, he knew exactly what he was doing, and he kept doing it. And it just makes you wonder why they were doing what they were doing, if it wasn't all meant to be. because like with Dave wants to be on the front scene of everything, and he wants to be empowered to do what he needs to do, and he wants the control to do it. And he put himself in that position because I think here on this planet, he really kind of did what he needed to do and started what he needed to start. But where he is now, he can do way more. The other thing that's really interesting and people should take note of is that Dave allowed me, and I'm not sure about Michelle or others, but I would imagine, but Dave allowed me to get to know a super soldier and the personality, the thinking, the motivation behind their personality. And Dave let me report on that and expose that. And it gave other super soldiers permission to come forward because, again, Dave went first. The fur flew. He took the flak for it. It was not easy on him by any means, but it had to get out. And so Dave was first. And with Dave, then he allowed an avenue for other super soldiers to come out. They were able to see how the public was responding to the super soldiers and how radio hosts became more sensitive to the way that they were actually interviewing a super soldier. Because when you are working with a super soldier, you just don't blurt things out. And you have to be in tune with them as your radio guest, because if you start discussing a subject that is triggering them, you have to be aware of that. You have to take responsibility as a radio host of the information that is coming out. And there's also a specific way that you address questions with a super soldier, and you have to have their confidence and trust before they'll just excrete the information that they want to get out. Sometimes with Dave, what I found out is if I asked him a direct question about something, a trigger would step in to block it because it wasn't safe. However, if you come at him at a different way of presenting the question, he would be able to answer it. So I got really great training from Dave to learn how to interview a super soldier so that they felt comfortable and safe. When you're working with a super soldier, if you are not in tune with them and you're pushing them too hard, they get really bad migraine headaches to where it can make them physically sick and their head is just pounding. And sometimes I have heard of like Brett Stilling saying that for a week he would be down after going on a radio show and talking to a radio host. So all the radio hosts need to be a lot more sensitive of who they're interviewing, the information that they're talking about, and they better know about MK Ultra and how it works. Because if you're victimizing your radio guests, that's not good for anybody. So anyway, Michelle, or I'll throw it back to you, JP, what else?
Wow, excellent discourse on the inner mind of the super soldier, because this is something, you know, it's a unique view. There aren't many around with that much honesty that they've had, because I think they probably saw, when they were first messing about with people's heads, they didn't imagine that they'd last too long. They were like disposable items. I know that's a terrible way of sounding, but that's how they were viewed. You know, they weren't viewed with the care that we have for them. I guess that they really, they basically used Dave, wiped him, and sent him back home. And it was only when his dad said, you know, his son said, "What did you do in Vietnam?" And then the nightmares begin. That's what he said. And that's what brought him to tell the truth, because he was driven to. It was too much. Too much not to. In a way, that's the sort of... that's the due to the lack of forward thinking of the people who messed with him. Number one, they didn't really know what soul they were messing with. They may have. I mean, they may be aware of that sort of thing. But it wasn't, you know, it didn't do them any good. Let's put it that way. In the long run.
Yeah, my experience, like I'm coming from a completely different angle personally. I met Erin McCollum first, and then Erin McCollum introduced me to Jeremiah Duncan, and from Jeremiah Duncan I met the Wolf Pack and Dave and everybody else. But immediately I had a connection with, there's reasons why I had connections with them, but I personally wasn't part of any of the training. I'm not any part of the Super Soldier program. I'm not, I don't have any of that, but I am involved in a different way. That actually, I don't want to, I don't feel too comfortable to say it right now, but it actually is in one of the earlier interviews that we did. We kind of talked about all that stuff. So this is about Dave. I don't want to get into that part of it, but just to stick it out there, I'm not part of the Super Soldier program itself, but I am very connected with these people.
That's okay. That's Muggsy popping up there. Carry on.
Yeah, so I was just saying, you know, how... did you hear the last part that...
We heard everything until the...
Yeah, it's kind of strange how I'm involved, and it does go into some areas that I would rather not talk about right now. It's not that it's bad, it's just that it's in depth and it would take a while, and I don't want to take up that space. It's about Dave today, but I just kind of want to clarify how I'm part of all this.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've been on Ever Beyond quite a few times over the years, and
yeah.
You're kind of slightly mysterious to people because you come on, we have these conversations, and they're kind of in the air sort of things, lots of inferred things. But now, if everybody looks back, if you listen to some of these early ones, you'll get what Michelle's talking about, especially after what you're about to say, which is about where you're at today, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's very interesting how, you know, we worked on a lot of different projects. One of them, all of us were really, Sam was part of this one too, the Fukushima event. And that was, geez, a lot of us got involved in that one and did a lot of work. And it was really great to have that kind of calibration with that level of high energy and good intention. You know, it was amazing, and I was very honored to be a part of all of that. My duty was kind of monitoring the jet stream because it looked like we were going to have a full-on fallout here for a second there until we had that massive unexpected storm that came through. And that even in itself was interesting because me and a small group of other people, I'm not saying that directly had anything to do with it, but we went to the Hopi people and we asked for help, and all of a sudden here comes this massive storm that just washed everything out to the ocean. I mean, that was incredible. I mean, some of the stuff that we have done together as a group is it sounds like it's out of a movie, but it's real.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of we could actually write a lot of movies, given what's been going on. I'm just refreshing, the stories that we've heard over the last 4 or 5 years. Well, you've had your own experiences, and that makes, you know, everybody's shared their experience, and so it's everybody's experience as well.
Yes.
You know, experience vicariously through your eyes and ears, but we're all one, and we're all experiencing. So, you know, like Muggsy was talking about. Oh, and by the way, Muggsy will be back later. She's off on a BRB. She's in and out. And I hope that other people will call in. I do still seem to be having internet issues, and I'd like to ask Dave if you could see what you can do about my internet connection, please. That would be great. If you can do anything at all, that would be the... I've been asking... I asked Sean David Morton to adjust his wishing machine so that I had a 21st century internet connection. So we're working on the fiber. We're trying to put moral fiber and trying to get some high fiber broadband as well. Anyway, so a lot of the stuff that you experienced then and now, all, you know, they all hook back to our you know, the reason that we kind of group together is like we're part of a larger thing, and there's always been a sense of family. So, you know, when one of our family passes over, there's almost, it's not like a celebration, because, you know, there's the human grief as well, but there is the joy of knowing that they're fully expanded again and not kind of crammed into this tiny little body.
Well, you know, it's, as I was listening, because I've been listening since 11 o'clock, and I'm sorry, I may have missed a portion of what you said just because it was cutting up. But as I was listening to everybody's interviews and things that they had to say, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, you know, mine's going to seem a lot darker and deeper. So I wasn't sure how I was going to approach the conversation today in regards to that, if I was going to keep it light or if I should just...
Look, honey. Look, honey. Listen, honey. You know, this is ever beyond. People's belief system has been left behind. There's nothing, you know, everybody's waiting for a bit of... We've had some potatoes. It's time for the meat. So, let's all go dark. So, on you go. Oh, have I lost it again? Hang on. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Bugger.
You right. Cut out.
Yeah. It sounded good, but anyway, it's going to come out well on the tape, though. I have to say, it sounds great on the tape.
Oh,
apart from all,
okay.
Right. So now we seem to be back on the air. Okay, we're back up. So yeah, we were talking about how your experiences are making more sense today. I'll try and shut up and let you speak.
No, I like it when you speak, then I don't have to say so much. I know you have a great voice.
But what I was, so I was talking like a lot of stuff you were like mysterious and making sense now. So where you're at now, where are you at now?
Well, where I'm at now, when I first met everybody, particularly Aaron McCollum and Dave, specifically because of their background and their knowledge of certain things. And what was really scary to me is that my connection to them, and there were others as well that we actually talked about on other radio shows that we've done. But hello?
We're back.
Oh, we're back.
Okay. You said, but...
Yeah, there was this ongoing theme of particularly these Black Ops super soldiers, first generation, third generation, you know, they were all kind of coming forward. And I had, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I'm still with you.
Jer?
Ah, the famous Wall Street Radio dead air. Oh, we're on a new node. Let's see if this one works any better. It doesn't seem to be. 146.90. Okay. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I'll try another one. That didn't seem to work at all. So, let's try that. Yes, and as we go through the narrow gate that is the IP address DCHP. Oh, there's a new one. Oh, that looks... Oh, I like that one. Yeah, that's got some good numbers in it. So we're going to try this. Okay. All right. So now we're back. And Michelle should be back with me any second. There you are.
There you are.
Good, good. All right. So I hope I've made a stable connection now. So let's get going.
Okay, so as I was saying, I had this connection to these super soldiers, and what concerned me is at that time I thought maybe I was an MKUltra or I was, you know, part of some of these programs, and it scared me, but I, at the same time, I knew I needed to connect with these people. I just was kind of fearful of why. And I didn't have a whole lot of answers, but I just followed my inner guidance and kind of removed the fear out of it and explored. So that's why I became, pretty good friends with Dave. Actually, we were good friends, and also Aaron McCollum and others. They were. Are you there, Jer?
Yep. Keep going. I'll tell you when you know.
Okay. Because we always have a habit of getting cut off when I talk about certain things. So I thought. It's...
Yeah. Of course.
Okay. Here we go.
So no, it's good. So you, so we're with Aaron McCollum and everybody. Yep.
Yeah. So going back to what you had said, you know, the clarity that I have now. So there's a huge difference of where I was then and where I am now in regards to particular information that was revealed to me. And actually, Dave really kickstarted that for me because he is as soon as I met him. And I don't mind saying it because it's out there somewhere floating around. It was on an interview you had done with us. But as soon as I met Dave personally, in person, the first thing he said is he stood there and he paused for, seemed like an eternity to me. And he pointed at me. And in his voice that he has, he goes, "I know you." And I thought, oh, shit, here we go. but what had come out of it is that he does, in fact, know me. He just doesn't know me from this dimension. But he knows it's me, so. Dear.
Yep. So the... it was a surprising place that he found you and or recognized you from, and I think it was probably way in his past that he'd had that experience. So it would be a
yes, because there was also that's where the tie-in from the, because every single super soldier that was coming to me was part of the time travel programs, and that's where I came in. Because apparently people had seen me at certain installations at certain times. But I wasn't, I was in a different field, so to speak. And I know now what that is. I don't feel comfortable saying it right now at this moment.
Okay, again, that'll probably come out in the future, but yeah, but people are listening and they're alert, so maybe give them a little picture of what you might be talking about.
Yes, and that's where the mysterious part comes in, and I do apologize for that. It has to come out in time. You know, it was a lot for me to take in and understand. I got a lot of confirmation, believe it or not, mostly from the government and their abductions of me, their interest in some other things that I had gone through. And that's why I connected so much with Dave, because Dave knew I didn't have to say anything. We just look at each other and it's like, oh, you know, there was no, you know, I had a very strong connection with him, and I felt like I could speak to him about things that people just, if you haven't been through some of this stuff, it's very hard to fathom. It's very hard to wrap your mind around. And it's, you know, you try to tell people and they have, you know, a pretty interesting reaction. They either change the subject immediately or they find an excuse to get away from you. And I found so much comfort. I mean, we had our group, our wolf pack, and we talked a lot about so many things. I mean, how many nights did we stay, do like all nighters and talked? And there were so many of us. And we were all on that same page, but in this particular instance, Dave had a knowledge of something I was trying to work through that, after his passing, like, I kind of feel like Dave didn't want to drop a bomb on me because he knew I was there to understand, like, I could understand it, but I wasn't ready to receive it. And he was very respectful of that. And after his passing, several things had transpired where it became crystal clear. And I was given a lot of information on certain things that, made sense to me in conversations that we had that I didn't really either understand 100%. I was still so confused, you know, on a lot of levels, because I had that fear of, oh my God, I don't want to find out that I went through some of this training and other things. I was fearful of that. So I think I was like open to hear, but I wasn't listening. Until I was forced to listen through another couple of experiences, and then everything seemed to solidify. But one of the things that, you know, I still... I still get emotional today about is that... And it does bother me. I know he's here. I feel his energy. He's here. But, you know, I was supposed to go see him the night before he died. I was going to travel out. And you knew that, Jaren. So did Rebecca Jernigan. You guys knew.
Yeah. And you know, I remember that the message that came back. I mean, because his dignity did not want to be disturbed by your seeing him in the way he was. And you can really understand that. He was still trying to be harmless. He was still trying not to horrify. Because I think what I viewed him, and I think we all viewed him, and it was like, oh my God. Like Muggsy was saying, there was so much more than just, you know, like a backache, you know. Or he couldn't. You know, he didn't have his balance. He didn't have, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on for him. That, you know, he's an old soldier. He was soldiering on. He didn't like to complain. He did to me. Everybody likes to have a good complaint to me. For some reason, it's like, I know. Let's call up JP and complain at him.
I think I felt most guilty because I had a whole wave of unexpected people popping up in my life that was government related, and I had some other stuff going on, and I remember asking you, please remove me from the wolf pack. Remember that? And that was about, I don't know, I think it was about a year before he died, and I just felt like I didn't talk to him for that whole year. I didn't talk to really anybody, and except for you and a few others. And I felt like, you know, even though he was sending me the message, because I had my bags packed, I was ready to go, and I was just lingering and lingering and lingering. I was like, I need to get on the road because I had to travel up to Nevada. And I kept getting the message, you know, nice, very nice. But it was like he was stopping me and stopping me and stopping me. I'm like, you know, and I kind of went through that, and it was already late, really late. And I thought, okay, maybe this feeling will go away and I'll leave in the morning. And then I found out he had passed away. And I felt guilty, you know, but he did give me a very strong message. I had easier communication with him when he passed away than he was physical. So I got the clear message. He told me, I wanted you to remember me the way you last saw me. Sorry.
Don't apologize. Don't apologize. It's perfectly, you know, we were all good friends, and you know, we it's just natural. It's just really natural to miss someone, as we all do.
He hung around for a while after.
Yeah.
He was joking around that he had some haunting, which he did very well. Just we talked about this last year. I think a group of us were laughing about it because they had gotten the same message from him. So it was actually quite funny. And he was around for a while, making his rounds, and he did come to say goodbye, and he went over the rainbow bridge, as he calls it. And he said Herkimer was waiting for him on the other side. And but he's still around. He maybe not to me as accessible as he was, because we used to have pretty good conversations. And the one thing that he did say, it was really interesting. He said that, if I can remember, I wish I would have wrote some of this stuff down. But he said that what he thought was his friends were enemies, and what he thought was his enemies were friends. Not all, but some of them, a lot of them. And I thought that was really interesting. And he also said that he had such a different viewpoint. He felt very released from all the drama from here. And he was just kind of operating on a completely different, like he was seeing things in such a different light. And he could see through all the crap, you know? I guess because all the programming wasn't haunting him. It wasn't, you know, affecting him. And he could see clearly. And but he definitely wanted to teach a few people a lesson before he left.
I think his exact words from another source was like, "I've got some people to go and haunt."
Yes.
So listen, I want to play a tune that always brought Dave to tears because it would always make him think of Herkimer, and so now we'll always think of Dave and Dave passing over the Rainbow Bridge. So this song is I mean, you heard it used as a theme tune. This is by Yoko Kanno. It's called Run, Wolf, Warrior, Run. So
yeah, and Jim, I think just
sorry Michelle.
Okay, so for people who don't know the name of his spirit wolf, that was his spirit guide, Herkimer. That is also the names of one of his altars as well, for people who don't know.
Which is why he identified so much with them. So, Run, Wolf, Warrior.
I'm used to being the power behind the throne, but now I am sitting on the throne.
That's pretty fun.
Dave's favorite jingle. Oh, yes. Excellent. So, this is Ever Beyond. I'm here. Finally, we seem to have a calm, stable internet waters. It always seems to be about this time, about 3 Pacific, in that 3 to 4 zone, the worst internet of the day. And that's exactly when my show starts. So I usually have to experience this every day when my show starts or when I produce Sean David Morton, which is even more terrifying because it's more in front of a million people. Anyway, so yes, here on Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, and now we have wolves and we have spirits, and this year on we have more spirits than wolves. And that's the way it goes. It's about transition, though. I mean, we're all going to be spirits one day. I used to have a phrase that we're all just future ghosts. One of my friends, she incorporated it into a song, and oh, that's very good. But anyway, we come in, we go out. We come in, we go out. We're the energy that energizes the leaf that then withdraws once again and allows the leaf to drop off to grow another one the next year. We all come and go in cycles, don't we? Michelle, are you there?
Well, I'm still here. Yeah. I was just listening to you.
And you drifted off, huh? Yeah, so, actually, you know, somebody, who was it? Somebody said, I'm a sine wave now.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, in the meantime, you've had some other experiences that have brought you into another aspect of the spiritual world, and it's what you call your spiritual work. Now, we have a healing show, as you know, at the end of my show, in 50 minutes time, with Frank Jordan. And one of the things that several members of the group do is the same as what you do. There's one guy in Hawaii who passes over these spirits. And, you know, they're all huddled around volcanoes and all this stuff. And actually, volcanoes in Hawaii, wasn't that something to do with the Scientologists? Anyway, just a thought. But you...
Comment.
So... tell people, just give a kind of outline of what you've found now that generally happens, because this has happened to you 3, 4, 5 many times now. That how do you get called to these events? What did they recognize you? And give us an outline, Michelle, because you know there's lots of stories, and you know, but it's about how you relate to that and how you relate to Dave.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, it's so amazing because there were so many connections, like the Native American connection. And I get, I'm not a channel in any way, shape, or form, but I get knowings of things. I just know stuff. And sometimes I get locations to go to. And on several occasions, I ended up at these powwows that I didn't even know were going on, you know, and it's really weird because I had to get used to it. I really had to tune in and start listening because it's like, I don't get, you know, the GPS on it, you know, I get, okay, you know, I kind of get like baby steps. It's like, okay, I could be doing something completely different. It's like, oh, okay, I'm going this way, which is the opposite way. And I go with that. And it seems like if I take the bait and I go in that direction, I'll get the next set of directions and I'll get the next set and the next set until I end up at the actual destination where I have the aha moment. It's like, oh, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. And, a lot of that has to do with the Native American people, particularly. And I was given my spirit name, Healing Star, by the Native American elders, in spirit form. It was actually quite, interesting. And what has been happening is that when I'm guided to go to these locations, immediately when I walk into the location, they're like, who are you? Because my energy signature is a little different. In some ways, I mean, everybody has their own, special energy signature, but, mine's a little, Jer, help me out. How can I say this with that? Mine's been altered a little bit. And they recognize that. And so I have been doing spiritual work, particularly. I have I do my Friday healings every day. Every Friday. I used to do it every day because I'm also able to cross disembodied spirits to the other side as well, which is some of the work that I did for the Native American people at Giant Rock. And that was huge. That's one of the things that I had done that they kind of accepted me for the being that I am here at this time and the work that I can do. And the reason why I can do this particular work is because of that energy signature being just a tad altered. So I was able to do work that typically a healer couldn't go in and do, particularly because it had to do with Native American people. Like a white woman can't just go in there and do some healing and, you know, poof, everybody's done. So it was real interesting. So ever since then, I've been doing my Friday healings.
So, I mean, that's just an outline to the people that you're an extremely white woman, you know. You've got long, very blonde hair and, well, I mean, you got a regular complexion, but very, very much not red skin, yeah, you know, native.
Right. But, you know, the work that I did there, I didn't go there with any anticipation to do anything. As a matter of fact, I don't know what I'm going to do up until the moment I actually do it. And then after it's all done, I step back. I'm like, whoa, that was crazy. That was interesting. That was amazing. You know, so I'm guided. I'm just guided and I listen. And I do end up in some pretty interesting situations.
Yeah, and it is all about listening, about being able to listen to the inside. Talking of listening, somebody who's been listening while we've been speaking, I've snuck him in. Our dear old friend, Christopher Noonan. How are you, Leprechaun?
Evening. Can you hear me?
Oh, a little close to the mic.
Yep.
Step away from the mic. There, it's perfect. Ah, the dulcet tones. Where are you calling from?
Are you London.
London. Excellent. Yes. Dan the Stow. So.
Dan the Stow.
So we've been talking about Dave, and Michelle's been talking about, as you can hear, the spiritual work that she's been exposed to, as it were, in the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Chris. How are you?
Michelle, great to hear you.
Great to hear you, too. Thank you.
Great to be reunited.
So I'm going to step back now, and you've got the floor.
Oh, yeah, please. JP, guide me. As you were.
Well, as you were, son. We were talking about... Well, we're talking about Dave. How Dave changed my life is the sort of subject of the... You can speak for 1 minute without interruptions, hesitations, or repetitions starting now. No.
Sure,
take your time and be and say as much as you like, my friend.
Of course. Yeah, it'll be quite impromptu, as I kind of came in kind of quite late. I was thinking about writing a couple of things, but I guess the best things are delivered quite impromptu, you know. When I think about Dave, I guess this is quite eulogy based. When I think about Dave, his name and everything about him, what comes to me is a great feeling of respect. I first came into contact with Dave through a friend, through our group here on Skype. Before that, it was through the media, it was through the alternative media, through Project Camelot with Bill and Kerry and Duncan O'Finian, and Dave was involved in that as well. It was a fantastic interview. But then things quickly developed after that with some of our contacts here, in our wolf pack, as it was dubbed, and I came into contact with Dave. And I guess if you want to call it in a particular way, I was a little bit starstruck. I was like, wow, I'm talking to Mr. Dave Corso. It was fantastic, and I just felt that overwhelming sense of respect for Dave, who was he was a leader. He was and a mystical guy as well. You know, his handle, the mystical Wolfman, it suited for him. So that was the first thing, that was respect. And then after that, what really took me back about Dave was his connection with animals. I love animals. I grew up with cats and dogs back in Ireland. But Dave truly loved his animals. He loved his wolves. And, you know, when we see someone so connected to animals and the way they treat animals, you know, we see that sort of that care that they have towards people as well. And I guess some people would describe Dave as, you know, his bark was worse than his bite. But, you know, I guess if, you know, Dave is around us today, and he will be laughing right now if he heard Leppy saying that he really is a pussycat. And he really was a pussycat indeed. He was a feline friend, you know, when you got to know Dave. There was a lot of other things, you know, about Dave that I didn't get to know that he took with him. I felt that I was only scratching the surface, and my life was moving forward as well. And, you know, there was a period of contact, sorry, a period of time when I wasn't in direct contact with Dave, and he was going through some health problems. And then when I finally heard through yourself, JP, and through our dear friends here online that, you know, that Dave had passed, yeah, I felt an incredible sense of sadness, of loss as well. I was grieving for Dave like I was a loved one also. It was quite a shock. But I've got such a strong memory of Dave being connected with us. I can just kind of close my eyes and everything around me and just imagine his raspy kind of baritone cigarette voice laughing, you know, and being ever so kind of, you know, mystical and cryptical in what he would say, and with a very commanding tone and always the leader as well. Just a lot of love and respect for that man. If there was ever anyone that who could write an interesting book, it would have been Dave. It would have been full of so many interesting, controversial, entertaining in-depth stories. And I guess also we did have some sort of, you know, Sicilian Irish connection. He had some Irish roots there as well. So himself and the leprechaun, he finally called me Leppy for short. You know, we always had a good time in the chat rooms together, you know, fighting off trolls and whatnot. It was great fun. I think we all had a bit of that fun. We bonded well. We connected well. We respected each other. I respected Dave as a pack leader, you know, and felt his love, felt his welcoming and his warmth, and took it from there. And I miss him very much, and I'll always remember him very, very well. I guess that would be a good place to finish that off, JP.
Thanks so much. Ah, Chris, it's good to hear your dulcet tones over the airwaves once again.
Oh, 1, 2, 4 tones.
Yeah, 1, 2, 4. And here's the thing, you know, I was talking before about all the different people that I was, you know, I'd started gathering people together according to their Ray group. And it kind of went on, it's just kind of exploded. They said, right, okay, you're the wolf pack, you guys. Because I'd collected Dave and Michelle and Chris. And so I had Dave at 125 and Michelle and yourself at 124 and Rebecca with 123. And Katie with 125, and this is where we kind of started. There was Brian who had 126. Yeah, and the lesson about the ones is that you have to allow them to explode. Like, you know, it's like just step away and let them explode for a while, and they'll come back, and then they'll explode again. And that's just in their nature. You know, that's like
they're expanding.
Yeah, they're expanding rapidly. It's the too rapid expansion in a confined space that causes explosion, and that's there's a philosophical a metaphor there as well. Anyway, so it's great to have you all. Maybe we might have a different get together some further time and continue on with some of our sharings, because it was that was the fertile time. We shared a lot of, you know, we started putting together, because it was like a detective team, and everybody had their different angle on it. And some people brought information, some people helped to sort and filter the information, and some people then assembled it in another way. And then we began to look and see that we're starting to get a bigger picture. You know, we were working out the way from the matrix.
I think it's very important to keep it going, JP. I think, I feel in the spirit of Dave right now around us that we do have a lot more of this, that we do recapitulate and keep on doing what we do best, that we reassemble, you know, in the spirit of Dave, and that we keep this going, that we reaffirm it. That's what definitely comes to me as an important iota of this evening's chat, because we are in very quickening, very 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 changing times and timelines as well, and a part of me feels one day that, whew, you know, things are going to be okay, and then some other days I'm like, things are going down the tube, and we really need to be on it together. We got to stick together. So either way, we do have to stick together.
Absolutely. I've been feeling a lot of that lately, too. I've been doing a lot of processing and clearing like crazy. Recently, in the past couple of days, and I've been so busy in my business life that I didn't even realize that there was this event going on until today. Jeremy and I, he mentioned it, but not... I didn't put two and two together and realize it was actually for Dave. So when I realized it was, I thought, oh my gosh, I set aside everything, dropped everything, and I was just going to sit here and and enjoy a couple of glasses of wine and do the whole marathon. And so I look back in the last couple of days, and I had so much clearing to get me to talk today, because I, as you guys all know, I haven't done interviews in a long time, and I just felt like I kind of shut down in that area, and maybe it's time to open back up. And
you sound great.
thank you. It's still a little tough for me sometimes to say certain things. I probably am doing more damage by being so elusive than just coming out with it. But, you know, I still have a little reservation on a couple things. Not me personally. Like, I know what it is. I'm just kind of scared to come out with it for people. I don't want to scare anybody. But,
We're pretty tough here. We've been through Die Glocke. We've been through dragging the Nazis through the through time and space. We're in search of time traveling Nazis. You know, you can't shock us. You think come on. There are no limits here. We are infinite on the inside.
I very much miss our round tables. I miss our group and all of that, and I need to get back to that. I have found myself being a little bit more 3D than I ever thought I would, considering the type of awakening that I had in 2006. So I feel the need to start sharing again.
I think that's part of the overall experience though, Michelle. That's, you know, when you kind of get away from the stream, you go a bit too far to the left of the river or the right of the river, you do find that with the times and experiences that you are kind of dragged back into that flow of life, into that ever-flowing stream. And this is one of those points where you're like, yeah, gosh, you know, I really need to get back to that. That was a safe place that we had where we could just talk so openly and kind of connect so similarly as well, and it was ultimately safe to play and to explore. I think our inner children felt really good around each other as well. It was really cool, you know. That's a good way of putting it. But yeah, you're right. We really need to get back to it, but also to be gentle. You know that, you know, life has its tests there for us as well. It's ups and it's downs, it's lefts and it's rights, and when the time is right, we'll get pulled back into that flow as well. But, you know, we have these gentle reminders along the way as well. It's like, come on, kind of hustle it back up, guys, you know.
Exactly, and I think that's kind of what Lexi was talking about earlier. You know, Dave's doing the work from the other side. He's like, all right, guys, it's time to step up. Let's do it. You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I remember I did this random post, and I, you know, sometimes I say things or I type things, and I read it later, because it's like I it just comes out. And then, but I made this post that Jeremy had done a similar post or had said something that I wasn't even aware of, and it was the same thing. It was about the round tables, bringing it back. So that's been floating around, you know. It's, I think all of us who were part of that, we really felt that longing and that yearning for that type of connection again, and that kind of, just being able, because I think when we spoke as a group, even on the radio, so much more came out because we were supporting each other energetically, and we felt safe, and we were building off of each other because one would pick up where the other left off. And, you know, and that's the way it should be. Not, you know, we don't all have, not just one person has all the information. We all have pieces of it. But when we get together and the synergy starts going, then all these different little pieces start coming out, and it really manifests into some incredible helpful information of maybe things that we have had to go through, that maybe on a soul level, this is the way I look at it. Everything that I've been through, because I know we've been all through a lot of devastating things, but I feel like I've really gotten dragged through the mud pretty good for a couple times. And I honestly believe that I went through all that because I'm strong enough to deal with it. Even if I get hurt or cry a little bit, it's fine. I can dust myself off. I'm good. But I believe this wholeheartedly that I went through some of this stuff that is just practically unfathomable to some people and unbelievable. So they don't have to go through it because, you know, we all have our different purpose for being here. I believe that. So if we can share some of what we've gone through, in that way, it's a trigger. It actually, in the grand scheme of things, it'll happen anyways. If it doesn't come from us, it'll come from somebody else. But I feel like I'm contributing. And that's the beautiful part of it.
Well, just by being here, you're contributing already. You know, and you sound great. You sound like you've been doing a multitude of radio shows, Michelle. So keep going. Keep speaking. Keep expressing, because you sound very clear. Whatever's coming through is very clear. So you should be very proud of yourself too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I haven't done a radio show in I think a year. The last one I did was with you, Jer. Was that about a year ago?
About that, probably about 18 months now.
Oh, wow.
Was it after David died?
I think I did maybe one show after he. Oh, I did the show that we did after he died. It was similar to this, but just you were doing it.
Right. So it's good to keep the continuum going. Now I'm going to call on. There's more people that are wishing to join. Actually, I'll just join. I'll just bring him in.
Fantastic.
This is... let's see if he's going to answer. He's an old friend that we met, again, in Rebecca Jernigan's chat room, who's been around. And,
hello.
Hello, James. This is JP. You're now on the air on Ever Beyond. Yes, you are. I know you don't like to be on the air too much.
I don't like to be on the air.
You're a shy boy, but it's lovely to just join. And I want to say thank you very much, because James is doing something for Alex Collier that no other human being is doing on the planet so far. I would love, James, if Alex were to find a lovely community somewhere who would treasure having him there. You know,
that's right. That would be pretty good, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? So, I'll just introduce you. James, you've been a long-term friend and listener to the Wolfpack. How did you find Dave? What's been your experience of Dave, and how has he changed your life?
I can't remember. It's been a long time. I mean, I think it basically we started off with Project Camelot, and then we got into involved with the Aaron McCollins group, and then after that, then Wolf Spirit Radio started. I think that's when I get involved with hanging around with you lot.
So you're one of these rare people. You actually got a job. You know, you actually do work, you know, as opposed to us, kind of a sort of artistic life sort of thing.
Yes.
And but
websites.
And you do websites, and actually, you know, we have a special project that is happening.
We do.
We can't really speak about it just yet. We want to do some tests. But it might be very, very interesting to everybody.
It should go pretty well, I think.
Yes.
If it all goes to plan.
If it all goes to plan, and the gods are on our side, and I'm sure Dave is going to help on the other side.
I hope so. Yes, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, it would be brilliant. So, I can't talk about it, but we're laying set down some mysteries. Maybe that's what we have to do. Lay down a few crumbs. There's something very special.
You know. Lay the ground in first, and then build upon it.
That's correct. The foundation. The foundation. So, it's great to have you.
The plans are moving forward.
And, what was it that that drove you? You're a driver, right? But, most people have some kind of like a car crash or you know, they get concussion or some sort of event that kind of puts them on the road to weird.
The road to weird.
Yeah.
It's basically the truth movement.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I think it was about 16. Just going back a few years now, and I got a book, and that opened my eyes a bit, and it just moved on further from there. It's been an interesting journey for sure, but for about 10 years I just dedicated my life to actually investigating all this stuff, and it's been a pretty interesting journey, that's for sure.
So you got 10 years of research?
Well, I did 10 years basically straight research,
and
a little bit of work in between, but mostly research, because I got addicted.
Something to do.
Keeps
you off the streets. So and what, where did that research take you? Where did it take you, and we'll go on the next question after that.
Where did it take me? Basically to help people, I think, basically. I'm now helping Alex. I'm helping Pastor Lindsay Williams with their websites, because they didn't have any presence online. So I thought I'd gather all their information together and put it on one, not one website, but on their respective websites. They have all their information on there that people can look at and research themselves. And it's been pretty interesting just gathering that information to give to people.
And that's such a... people are thirsty for the kind of information that is there, because it's clean water. You know what I mean? There's no agenda behind it apart from your liberation.
That's right. One of the questions that I was listening to someone, and I thought that makes a lot of sense, is to do with the current financial crisis and the potential for QE4 to happen in September, October, and people were interested in what that would mean. And I said, well, we'll find out when it happens, because we just found out that the interest rates will be going up in September, October, and that was a leak, which is probably not a leak, it's probably been done on purpose in order to set the ocean motion, so the problem in September won't be as bad as it was, because it's already been announced unofficially. But that's the kind of information that we gather and we put out, and people are interested in, because I like to help people make sure that they're safe from whatever happens, if they take my advice, that is.
Excellent. Well, that's, you're doing that on two levels, in a way. I mean, there's Lindsay, which is the very kind of
down to earth,
grounded, down to earth
stuff. Financial stuff.
And then,
he's also coming from a biblical religious background as well, obviously.
That's right. He's got the book and the lectern going there.
That's right.
And then on the other hand, you've got Alex Collier, who's like the tax man. Who's a abductee? No, a contactee, not abductee. Actually, I just wanted to have a thing. You remember Aaron McCollum? One of the things that he was talking about was that they would be doing MILABS, which is a military abduction. MILAB. They tend to make these words that are the first two letters of all the words in the phrase. So military abduction is a MILAB, and they would follow around the people who had been abducted by the extraterrestrials to probe them to see what they've done to them.
Yeah.
And they would give them they'd use the flash gun and stuff like that. I mean, you've learned a lot more about that, presumably, since.
I've learned quite a lot of information. It's Alex has got a lot of information there that people can look at, and of course that the thing that's coming up is that he's got some new information, he's got some more revelations to come, but it's all very interesting stuff. I mean, a lot of it's terrestrial based, but some of it is not, and that's the stuff that they're interested in. They want to know what all that's all about. So it'll be interesting to find out a little more about that myself.
I can attest this personally. It's been done to me several times.
All right.
Do you want to talk about it?
I don't want to interrupt the space that you guys have going, but I just figured I'd chime in and say, hey, you know, you're looking at one, too.
Okay, maybe we'll bring it up in a minute. We'll see what happens.
I'm open.
But maybe we could, put a lot of space into a show about the experience of something with a bit of hindsight and without so much of the shock of it.
That's right, yeah. We can do that, that's not a problem. We could have many shows like that in the future.
Well, you know, I would very much like to get a lot more, without revealing too much about what is happening, but revealing almost everything, it would be a slightly different forum to what we have here.
Most definitely.
But more, it would be more educational. It would be more academic kind of situation. So
a lot of information, a lot of people must have a lot of pens and pads.
Yes, and, at the same time, it will be recorded and YouTubeable, and so people can, play it backwards and forwards and pause it and, you know, what the heck did they just say? You know, kind of stuff. And, you know, we're trying...
They will be available.
Yeah, just really get it down. Really lay it down and get the things nuggeted. nuggeted. But, you know, get really good concepts. I mean, here's the one concept. If there's one thing that Alex Collier will be remembered for, is this famous thing he's quoted all over the way? Is this, why do you have to pay rent on a planet that you're born on?
That's right.
That's one of his famous, and you know, you hear everybody using that.
Everyone does use his words, yeah.
So James, thank you very much for dropping by. It's been
no problem.
It's been, good to see. I mean, I speak to James, you know, on and off all the time, but only by Facebook chat.
Very rarely on the radio.
Yeah, very rarely on the radio. even very rarely on the phone as well.
Very rarely on the phone. I don't even do phone.
It's great. Anyway, thanks so much for dropping by.
No problem.
But before you go, is there anything, any particular memory of Dave that you'd like to share with everybody? I mean, everybody says Dave was a multifaceted person. He had many personalities, and yeah, everybody sees
a lot of personalities. And it was, he was sometimes happy and sometimes he was angry. You know, more angry than happy, but you know, that's what he came across to me in my dealings with him. But that's fair enough, you know. Each their own. But, I'm sure he's much happier now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was certainly feeling the suffering, experiencing the suffering of being in the human body.
That's right, yeah. And you got to think about what they did to him back in the day, you know, his military and all that lot, you know. There's a lot of problems there. And there's a lot of psychological issues there as well. But... that's another whole show for that.
certainly. We're about 15 minutes away from the top. I'm just wondering if Tremjar's around. Because Tremjar was there, you know, during Dave's last days and, the last days before he went into hospital and had to help a lot. And I think he's been... it's been kind of offline quite a long time. But anyway, I hope he's very well. Anyway, that's Casey Clark. Just want to put a shout out to there. And everybody else who's been here, I have a message from Katie saying that Where is it? Sorry. Casey is adding her love and good memories of Dave, and that she was grateful to meet him and to his friend, to be his friend and part of his tribe. If maybe later we might have a bit of a round table or a Tourette's moment if anybody wants. I don't care.
Let's do it.
So, there's the other one. Thank you very much, Marie. The love you withhold is the pain that you carry. Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Marie. So, I'm going to throw the table open.
Oh, well, I'd just like to say that, you know, James, if you're still there, it was lovely to meet you, mate. I was incredibly interested just listening to what you were saying there. And, it's great hearing you and kind of the work that you're doing. Obviously, I only knew, like, very little about you through, you know, JP, but what was kind of instantaneously kind of that came forward to me was that, yeah, you're incredible, nice guy, great soul, and, you know, please stay connected with us all and stay in touch. You know, you're doing a heck of a lot of groundwork there, which needs to be held up there as some great stuff, mate. So, yeah, what can I say? Please stay in touch and look forward to hearing you again, hopefully, fingers crossed, on many more radio shows if we can get you on, because you sound very comfy indeed, and you've got a heck of a lot to offer. So thank you very much.
No problem.
Yeah, also thank you, James. It's very nice to meet you too. I mean, I that's the whole reason I started talking to Aaron McCollum, because I had markings on my body that shouldn't have been there. And I knew that Aaron was very well versed in that field, and that's how that whole thing started. And it just kind of snowballed after that. But it's interesting because I do have some pretty interesting things that happened to me, different places that I was taken. It happened after 2006 when I had a full-on ET contact experience. I was like at the peak of my real estate career financially. I would have been retired by now. it flipped everything upside down completely. My whole entire life fell apart, and I found myself constantly being harangued by CIA. You name it, they gave me a good, some good lessons, and I was looking for answers, and I got a lot of answers, you know, things that I didn't expect to hear. It was kind of shocking, and then I had to get, you know, deal with it. But I'm really grateful that people like you are stepping forward and talking about some of this stuff, because it's very devastating for the person who's gone through it. And there aren't very many people you can talk to about this kind of stuff. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's a round table, you know. You don't have to wait for me.
Okay, yeah, I'll keep on filling the dead air. we just take the lead from you, JP. No worries. Michelle, I think one thing that you pointed out there was spot on. Was just, you know, regarding, I don't have the same experience as you. Yours are like fully, you know, mutually respected, you know, by us. Of course, that goes without saying. But I do agree with strongly what you said about, you know, having that space, having that platform to be able to chat to other individuals or groups, you know, about when the going gets weird. I want to start with JP. The weird get professional, you know, and that's what we did. That's what we still do, you know, and hopefully we will continue to do going forward. We will continue to be professional with all of this stuff and get cracking, you know. That really resonated with me. Just, you know, all things weird, sightings, kind of, you know, senses of, did that just really happen to me, you know, from a contactee situation. You know, when things get deep, when they get dirty, it's a stressful situation. It's like, who do I turn to? Who do I chat to about this? You know, if you don't necessarily want to do it online, who can I do this with offline? You know, and initially, I'm sure you'd agree, Michelle, it can be quite a narrow tunnel. You know, with not much of a light at the end of it. When you kind of look around at the perspective, you're like, geez, like, how can I kind of like, how can I divulge this information? I'm sure you'd agree with that to a degree.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we all have our different experiences, you know, so, you know, somebody might have been through a different kind of shocking, you know, or traumatizing or whatever, you know, but really I think that, I've never felt left alone completely. There was always somebody that would show up some way, somehow. If it was a spiritual teacher, a person, a part of our soul family, or, you know, so many different ways that I've never felt alone completely. And that has been so beautiful, and I'm so grateful for that. Because, you know, some of this stuff gets a little crazy, you know, a little weird to the point where, you know, it's definitely not cocktail conversation, that's for sure.
heck no. I mean, do you feel, Michelle, that, I mean, is this, are you still getting harangued? Have things quietened down for you? I mean, with the pact, let's get a little bit serious here, you know, with the pact regarding, you know, the military industrial complex and the greys, the robots, the soulless beings, whatever you want to call them, the Zeta Reticulans, you know, the Orionists, whatever. Do you feel it has kind of calmed down to a degree compared to the frantic nature of it, like some years ago, even with, you know, with the MyLab stuff? Do you feel that kind of has subsided, yeah, like, for the time being?
Yeah, and there's a particular reason why it has for me that I can't go into at this time, but yes, absolutely. At the time when I first had my awakening and I had all this stuff happening, it felt like my whole world was just crumbling apart, and I literally had nothing to hang on to besides the fact that they, when I had the experience, the higher dimensional beings took me so far into their high energy that I had a hard time coming back and connecting to my body. And I stayed that way for a long time until I had several people come and tell me, if you don't learn how to reconnect, you're going to walk out. Your body will still be animated and something else will come in. You're going to go. Yeah. And I thought to myself, oh my God, you know, I'm not a quitter. Mm-hmm. And I had to figure out, it was like the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I went through a financial extreme too, because of the fact that I couldn't connect. I had nothing to grab onto, to relate to. And I financially went bust completely. I went from super happy and having everything to having nothing. And I was okay with that. I was more happy being spiritual and out of body and having nothing than having everything and being the way I was before. It just was unacceptable and I couldn't do it anymore. So, but what happened too, going back to your question, is that during a period of time, it wasn't only the government that I was being harassed by, because now I was open energetically. I had a bunch of different beings coming and say, ooh, that one's awake, you know, let's go check it out, you know. And so I had a lot of that happening. And my experience mostly, I've been protected because I've never really had to deal with the grays, although they do like to occasionally screw with me. But they're not really allowed. I'm protected that I'm just, anything can't come mess with me. I'll just leave it at that. But I had more problems with the actual government than I did with any of the ETs and the CIA. I'm not even going to they're a bunch of complete idiots. But
that's funny. That's funny because just to cut across, because I've heard it so many times said that, you know, we shouldn't be the ones above that we, you know, must be concerned about. It's the ones on the ground. I mean, the person I heard, you know, my mom would kind of, she knew about my fascination with kind of with sci-fi, with Greys and whatnot throughout my whole, you know, like lifetime of avid reading and kind of researching, studying, etc. But there was one thing she would constantly say would be, well, it shouldn't be the little green men you should be, we should be concerned about. It's the ones on the ground pointing towards kind of the higher kind of so-called authorities, powers, politicians, you know, the complex, industrial complex, etc. That she was kind of like alluding to, you know.
Exactly. Well, what I found out is that, you know, an initial contact, when they're not sure about the person, they'll send in evaluations. That's what happened to me. I kept getting evaluated. And the first round was, I had a lot of run-ins with the CIA, and they don't know spirituality for the most part. They don't understand what we went through. They're going to harass us and be mean and just horrible people. They have no clue of what happened. So you get really harassed. And then the next phase, if you pass that, and they think, okay, we've got something here to take a look at, then they start sending the higher ranks. But by the time you get to the point where they're like, ooh, you know, we got to be careful with this one because they might have some knowledge that we don't want to screw with. But by the time you get to that point, you've already been drugged through the mud to the point where you're just like, over it, you know. I don't know, James, do you have anything to add to that if you're still here?
Sorry, were you talking to me? I was distracted.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was talking about the process of getting to the point where they actually start leaving you alone if you do have something of value to them that they kind of want to store for safekeeping. I was talking about the whole process to get to that point. It's a long, drawn-out, horrific experience.
Yeah, I was going to say something. It's not on the same sort of track, but it is interesting with regards to what the elite are worried about, and that is a divine event that they're worried about, and they don't know what it is, and they don't know how to handle it, which is interesting. I don't know what it is. No one seems to know what it is, but it's coming. Now, that could be a complete awakening of humanity, or it could be something horrendous. It depends on, I suppose, on someone's how far they've gone, how far they've come in their awakening process.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you bring that up, you know, and there's a lot of truth to that with a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons. But I'll tell you one thing, that's my connection with the time travel programs and the people, some of the people that we're talking about. There is definitely a connection because they already saw in the future what's going to be coming down. They just don't know who, when, or where. They have an idea. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to alter the timelines and do all kinds of stuff. They've been doing that forever, but there is a lot of truth to that. And that's what I had been made aware of. And a lot of us that are waking up right now who have been exposed to certain things, like we've been given certain pieces of information to contribute to that event. But because, so it's kind of like right now, my security right now is that they don't know how much I know. And trust me, they tried to find out. They just can't understand it at this time. It's not available for them to have access to. So what happens? I'm sorry, Jer.
Michelle, we have to finish. We're running into the next show. But thank you. It's been lovely. It really has been quite an uplifting experience, and it's been great to have you all, Chris and James, and thank you, Muggsy and Michelle. You've been all brilliant. So I'll catch you all soon. Come back on the air, and we'll talk one at a time. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.